Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Hey guys, welcome back to Theory of Pets. My name is Samantha, and this week I am talking about the most commonly asked question that I am ever asked by pet owners, and it is, how do you save money caring for your dog? Everybody's on a budget. We're all on a budget. Some are tighter than others, but everybody wants pets. They want to have the companionship. They want to have the fun of having a dog and being able to go out and explore and walk your dog, have that companionship and that love and that just that furry family member that really adds to your family. There's no other way to explain it. Having an animal, whether it's a cat, a dog, a horse, it adds something to your family that you can't get any other way. So I am always being asked, how can I save money? How can I cut money out of my pet budget? How can I stay on top of my pet budget? What can I do to make this more feasible for our family? And I'm often asked this by first-time pet owners. I'm often asked this by seniors who are on a budget. I'm often asked this by families who want to have more than one pet. You know, having more than one pet can be very beneficial. They, you know, enjoy being around each other. Sometimes there's, if you have multiple, say, kids in your family and you want to get a couple of dogs. So, you know, there's responsibilities for every kid. You have two kids, you want two dogs so that they each have their own dog. They can each take a dog for a walk and do that stuff. Whatever the case may be, there are so many reasons that people are looking to cut budgets. Right now, you know, the economy's tough. People are losing jobs. The jobs that are out there aren't paying as well as the jobs that some people have lost. So they need to make adjustments in their budget, but nobody wants to have to get rid of a pet to make your budget work and make ends meet every month. So let's jump right into it. I have six things that I want to talk to you about. So the brief overview here is we're going to talk about your budget. You need to find and maintain your budget. Number two is going to be to set up an emergency fund for your pet. So when those things come up, like unexpected veterinary expenses, you're not having to max out credit cards or borrow money. Number three, you want to look at ways to save on pet supplies, which would be things like bedding, toys, that kind of stuff, leashes and collars. Four, you want to look at ways to save on treats. Five, we want to look at ways to save on food. And then six is the dog care expenses or the pet care expenses, things like grooming, pet sitting, stuff like that. So let's jump into it. Number one, your budget. You need to be thinking about your budget when either if you are thinking about adopting a pet or if you have a pet but it's not fitting into your budget, the caring of the pet. So the first thing you need to do is really sit down, think about your budget, look at the things that stay the same every month. Things like your rent or your mortgage, car payments, things that are the same every month. You have to pay them and you know 100% exactly what that cost is going to be. So list all of those things. Then you're going to list the things every month that you have to pay, but you're not sure exactly how much they're going to be. Things like electricity bills, those, you know, change every month, but you can kind of figure out an average ballpark of what they are. So that's what you're going to do next, is the things that aren't always the same, but you can ballpark it. And what you want to do with those things is go on the high side. So if your electricity bill sometimes is down around $60, but some months it's up around $100, you want to go with that $100 every month because you don't want to underestimate. And then you're going to have to take some money out of another area of your budget to make up for that. So if you can go on the high side on those months that it's $60, you're going to have an extra $40 that you can tuck away into an emergency fund, savings account, something like that. But on those months that it's $100, you're not going to have to be making up for that. So look at your budget, figure out those things that you need to pay every month, the things that are always the same, the things that aren't always the same but have to be paid. Things like credit card bills need to go on there, cell phone bills, any loans that you might have, whether it's a vehicle payment or a personal loan, anything like that that has to be paid every month needs to go down on a piece of paper. You figure out how much you're spending every single month on these things that absolutely have to be done. And then you want to take into consideration the things that you have have to buy like groceries for your family, gas for your vehicle, things that you buy every month that don't have a set expense. You don't necessarily have to pay them. You don't necessarily have to buy groceries. You know, if you have stuff left over from last month, you can make it work. But, you know, things that come up that aren't 100% have to pays, but they do pop up and you do have to pay them. So, take that into consideration. And then what you're going to do is you're going to have pretty much a ballpark figure of what your expenses are every month. And think about every little thing. If you change the oil in your car every month and you drive through one of those places that cost you $30 or $40 to drive through, if you buy lunch for work every month, think about that stuff. While you're making out your budget, think about things. Can you cut certain things? Can you cut buying lunch every day and bring your own lunch? So think about that. Get your budget under control. And then you figure out how much you make every month, subtract what you have to spend out, and you've got this discretionary income, we call it. So that's money left over that you can use to go out to dinner, to go to the movies. It's the money where your pet budget is going to come in. So you obviously don't want to use every dime of your discretionary income. Look at it, figure out, can I spend $200 a month? Can I spend $100 a month? Can I spend $500 a month? Whatever it might be, you want to figure out what you can comfortably spend on a pet or multiple pets every month. And that becomes your pet budget. This pet budget, now don't say, you know, well, I have $200 of discretionary income, so I'm going to spend $20 a month on my pet. You're not going to be able to be a pet owner for $20 a month. You need to consider food, supplies, treats, care for them. $20 a month isn't going to cover it. So maybe you need to rethink things. If you don't have a pet already, this is the time to look at things honestly and say, this isn't the time for me to have a pet. I don't have the money in my budget right now. So then go back to your budget. Look at what can I do maybe right now, maybe in the next 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. I want to be a pet owner. These are the things that I need to do. I need to pay down credit card debt, so I'm not having to spend out that much every month. Next year I'm going to be paying this car off. So I need to be, looking at that. How long can I drive this car? How long am I comfortable driving this car? You know, before I'm going to have to take on another car payment, can I look at a car payment that's cheaper? Things, all of these things that you can look at. But in order to responsibly take care of a pet, you need to think about your own budget and figure out what you can realistically spend on your pet every month. So that's your budget. You've got that down. Now let's talk about a pet emergency fund, because every single pet owner, whether you have a cow, a horse, a pig, a dog, a cat, a hamster, you need to be thinking about a pet emergency fund. Now obviously the pet emergency fund for a hamster or a bird or a rabbit is not going to need to be nearly as much as an emergency fund for a dog or a horse. So take that into consideration. What pet do you have? What's a reasonable emergency fund going to be? Now, let's just say dogs and cats, because those are the most common pets that people have. So you're probably thinking to yourself, Samantha, what should I have? What ballpark figure should I have for a pet emergency fund? Because nobody knows. You could take your dog or your cat to the vet and they might need a $1,500, $2,000 surgery. You might take your pet to the vet. I'm going to give you an example. One of our cats had to just go to the vet a few months ago. He is double pawed and one of his paws is actually right in the middle of two toes is how it grows in. And it grows and it curls in and around and grows back into his paw. Something that is totally random. It's not very common. It doesn't happen often, but it happened to our cat. It cost us, he had one of those claws on each of his front paws that needed to be removed. So they had to sedate him and remove those claws. That was a $650 surgery that we never would have imagined one of our cats would have needed, because I've never known a cat that needed that type of surgery before. So we feel like $1,000 for a cat is a good emergency fund. If something like that comes up, you can dip into your emergency fund for things like spaying and neutering. You can dip into your emergency fund for things like, a broken leg, or in our example, a claw growing into a paw that you never thought coming. It can be for things like if your dog or cat maybe is not eating, maybe there's a tumor growing and you need to have that tested to find out if it's cancerous or not. So for me, $1,000 is a good comfort, a good buffer as far as our cats are concerned. For dogs, it really should be up close to that $2,000 mark. You really should have a couple thousand dollars just sitting in that pet emergency fund. And then, you know, if you're talking about, say, okay, we've had a dog in the past that had tore his ACL and needed that repaired at 3 years old. This Labrador tore his ACL, and that was $2,000 surgery, and his recovery and all of that, the medication was about $2,000. We had that in our emergency fund, so we didn't have to go charge it on a credit card and pay interest. We didn't have to scrounge and look for family members to borrow money from. We didn't have to deal with any of that. It was in the bank. We were ready to go. Our dog got the care that he needed. We didn't have to wait. Some people have to wait. If your dog has a tumor, they may have to wait a few months before they have that tumor biopsied and tested to see if it's cancerous. In that time, you have no peace of mind because you're worried. Your dog might be uncomfortable depending on where the tumor is growing. Things could be getting worse if it is a cancerous tumor. Things are developing and growing and changing, and you're not able to help your pet at that time because you don't have the money. So a pet emergency fund is an absolute must for every pet owner. You know, those are just my personal comforting ballpark figures. You need to think about it for yourself. What can you feel comfortable having in the bank for your pet that you feel is going to cover most general emergencies? And even if it won't cover it, let's say your dog ends up having a tumor. The tumor needs to be biopsied. It comes back that it's cancerous. You have a young dog. They recommend chemotherapy or some kind of cancer treatment it's maybe going to cost you $3,000 or $4,000. You've only set aside $2,000. Maybe what would have happened, let's say the surgery, all of the care for your dog is going to be $4,000. With a 3 or 4 year old dog, even though your dog's young, you might look at that if you have $0 in the bank and say, we can't afford this. We can't afford to put it on a credit card. We can't borrow it from family members, and we can't afford this. So you have to have your dog put down at the age of 3 or 4 years old. Whereas if you've got $2,000 in the bank already, you can say, okay, we've got half of it. So now we can put the other half on a credit card. We can borrow the other half from family members. We can make this work, and we can have our dog that's only 3 or 4 live another 8 or 10 years, and we can afford this. So it is something that's really important, even for more major surgeries that are going to cost money. It's important for the little things that come up that you're not expecting. So a pet emergency fund, absolute necessary. Let's move on to number 3 on my list, which is saving on supplies. First of all, first-time pet owners, seasoned veterans, we all see things that we want to buy for our pets that we do not need. They're cute. They might be convenient. It might be something that's going to save us a little time. It might be something that's going to make our pets happy. You know, whatever the case may be, you don't need to buy every single thing you see for your dog. If you have a Labrador Retriever and he is a double-coated dog who stays plenty warm when it's cold out, he doesn't need that jacket. Even though it looks so cute and you just can't wait to dress him up, he doesn't need it. So you need to think about the number one thing with supplies is, do we need it? Is it an expense that we need? If it fits into your budget and it's not a necessity, but you've got the money in your budget to do it, it's okay. You should still think about it and consider what's the best thing to do. You know, do you spend $20 on the dog jacket, or do you squirrel that $20 away into your pet emergency fund? These are things to think about, but if it's in your budget, it's up to you at that point, whether it's a necessity or whether it's something that you don't need, and then whether you choose to buy it anyway, even if you don't need it. If the money's there, that's your choice. If the money's not there, you shouldn't be shopping for extra things. You need to think about the things that your dog has to have and start from there. Hopefully, if you can cut back, if you're a dog owner that has a pet already, if you're cutting back, you're saving a little bit of money, and maybe you can get to a place in the future where your budget's not so tight and you can start buying those unnecessary things again. If you're a first-time pet owner, not buying those unnecessary things is going to allow you to get that emergency fund built up. It's going to allow you to have some wiggle room in your budget to play around with a little bit, especially as a first-time pet owner. You know, that's really important. So think about whether you need it, whether it's a necessity. Things that you do need. you can save where you can. And that's really important to think about. Things like dog beds, dog toys, they're necessities, but you can make them yourself for much, cheaper than what you can buy them for at a pet store. Jump online. If you're, say, you know, you're getting a new dog, you want a dog bed, jump online and just type in DIY dog bed, DIY dog toys. You will find a million different videos and articles showing you how to quickly, easily, and affordably make your own dog supplies. I have made dog toys out of old socks and bottles. That is one of our dog's favorite things. If you put an empty water bottle inside an old tube sock, that is their favorite thing in the world to chew on. It makes a crinkly noise. It's soft on the outside. I tie a knot in the sock. So actually tie a couple of knots in the sock. And that gives them something to chew on as well that's softer and squishy. They love those. And it costs me absolutely nothing because, one, I'm going to throw that sock in the trash. And two, we have water bottles in our returnable. I live in the state of Maine, so we can return our bottles for a 5-cent deposit. I know you can't do that in every state. So anyway, we do save our old bottles here in Maine. So we have bags of bottles that we collect and then turn in, you know, after you have a bunch of them. But we have the bottles laying around anyway. We have the socks that are just going to go in the trash. So essentially, I don't spend any money on those. It's things I've already purchased that I would just be throwing out. Dog poop bags is another thing that, of course, we all need it. You take your dog for walks, you go to the public park, whatever the case may be. You can use old shopping bags, and you don't have to use just one. Cut them into pieces. Cut them in half. If you have a very small toy breed, you can cut them probably in quarters and use that plastic to scoop the poop instead of buying expensive dog poop bags. You can use old newspapers. If you subscribe to the newspaper, you can use old newspapers to clean up your dog's waste. So there are ways to save and think about, step outside the box, get creative with it. Where can you save money on things that you have to buy, but you can cut some of those expenses? And then the last tip that I want to give you on saving on supplies is to buy secondhand. There's nothing that says that to be a good pet owner, you have to buy brand new supplies for your dog. If you are looking for a dog crate and you're only, for example, in our house, we crate our dogs when they're puppies, when we're house training, and that's it. After that, we don't really use the crate. We still have one crate in our living room that's open all the time. We use it as a little den, a little hideaway for our dogs. But they don't have to go in there when we're not at home anymore. They're house trained. So we use the crate for 6 months, maybe a year if our dog is a tough one to train. And that's it. So why go out and buy a new crate for $100, $200, $300 when you can buy a secondhand crate for $25, $40, $50? I see them all the time. Somebody selling them on Facebook. You can buy them used on eBay or Amazon. There is absolutely nothing in the rule book that says that dog owners have to buy brand new products for their dogs. So keep that in mind. Now let's move on to number 4, which is treats, saving money on treats. First of all, make your own treats. They are so much cheaper than buying in the store. For example, jerky treats a lot of times are, for the higher quality, the good quality ones, are upwards of $10 a bag, and you might get enough treats to last a few weeks. For pennies per treat, you can make your own treats right at home in a dehydrator or your oven. Go to your local butcher. You can often find products like chicken livers or beef liver, any kind of organ meat that the butcher's not going to use or sell. They may either give it to you for free or very cheap. Bones are the same way. Sometimes local butchers will give you bones for your dogs, or they will sell them to you very cheap. So go to your local butcher, talk to them, let them know that you have a dog, you're on a budget, and you're looking for what they can give you that's fairly cheap. So organ meat is actually great. It's extremely healthy. And of course, marrow bones, a lot of dog owners let their dogs chew on marrow bones. So go to your local butcher and talk to them about that first. Make your own treats at home. You can buy, again, jump online and look for dog treat recipes. On our sister website, topdogtips.com, I post recipes every week on there. And there are tons of recipes that you can make very cheap at home. You can cater them to your dog's needs, and they are so much cheaper and healthier than the treats that you can buy in the store. You can also dehydrate vegetables at home. Sweet potatoes is a great one. Sweet potatoes are a superfood for dog, and you can dehydrate them at home, either in a dehydrator or in your oven. They last a long time, and they are great healthy treats for your dog. So look into saving some money on dog treats that way. You can segue now right into number 5 and which is saving money on food. So a lot of the same things, you know, you can look into making your own. Sometimes that's more expensive, but sometimes it is a little bit cheaper as well. So look at different recipes, look at what your dog needs, and check that out. If you want to buy commercial, which most people do because it's a lot more convenient, buy in bulk. Bulk bags will save you money. This is especially important if you have multiple dogs or large breed dogs that eat a lot of food. Buying in bulk almost always saves money. You can also look for subscription services. And a lot of times subscription services will sell high quality foods, but they'll give you a bit of a discount if you sign up for the subscription service for, say, 6 months or a year. So it's convenient. You're getting the dog food delivered to your house. You're not having to go out and pick it up. You're getting a high quality food, and you're saving money because you're signing up for the subscription service. So those are two different ways to get your food at a little bit cheaper. Shop around. You want to look for high quality foods, the highest quality food that you can afford. Again, this comes back to your budget, but it's something that you really want to think about. The higher quality food that you feed your dog, the less of it that you have to feed. So higher quality feed means that you can feed a less quantity. And at the end of the day, you want your dog to be healthy and get the nutrition that they need, but you also want to think about cost. If you're having to feed less quantity of food, you're going to be saving more in the long run. You might be able to buy a cheaper food at a lower price, but you're having to feed more because it's full of fillers and artificial ingredients that your dog's body doesn't process. It turns it into waste, and it immediately dumps those ingredients that it doesn't want. So your dog is having to eat a higher quantity to actually get the nutrients that his body needs. So consider that. And then, of course, measure the food. Every dog food package, whether you're buying canned wet food, whether you're buying dehydrated food, whether you're buying a kibble, it tells you how much food a dog of your dog size needs. So you look at your dog's weight. There are some factors that play into it. Biggest one is activity level. If you have a young, active dog, if you have a working dog, you might need to increase a little bit from what the package says, but talk to your vet about that or a canine nutritionist to see what you should be feeding your dog every day and measure it out. A lot of pet owners free feed, or they put, you know, well, my dog maybe should have about 2 cups of food in the morning, 2 cups of food at night, you know, because that's what their dog will eat. One, you're aiding your pet in becoming obese. And two, your dog doesn't need that much food. So their body is going to, again, process it immediately into waste. It doesn't need it. And it's going to get rid of all of the excess. So you're feeding food. You're paying to feed them more than they need. And it's costing you money is the only thing it's doing, and possibly leading to your dog being obese. So I'm going to just recap in saving money for food. Buy in bulk if you can, or look for subscription services that might be a little bit cheaper. Shop around. Look at different places. You know, you might have your favorite place to buy dog food is your local pet store, but you may be able to get it cheaper online. So think about that. Higher quality food means you're going to be feeding less quantity. And of course, measure the quantity that you are giving your dog. So now we're going to go to number 6, which is my last tip for you guys when you're trying to save money in your pet budget, and that's dog care. And so this is everything that you need to care for your dog, from veterinary care to grooming to, you know, any services that you might need, like a pet sitter or a boarding kennel. So first, let's talk about veterinary care. How can you save money on vet care? And of course, when your dog needs veterinary care, he needs veterinary care, but there are certain things that you can do at home. For example, flea and tick remedies. A lot of people go to the vet to get those, and oftentimes they are higher priced there. If you know, for example, we give our dogs Capstar, which is a pill that you can feed your dog to prevent fleas and ticks. I buy Capstar online. I don't buy it from my vet. It's much cheaper online. I don't have to pay the vet visit to go in there and have, you know, have my dog be given the flea and tick medication. So you can save there. So there are certain things that you can buy cheaper in other places. You don't have to get from your vet. But the biggest thing to cut down on vet care is preventative measures. Make sure that you're feeding your dog the correct amount, that you're not overfeeding. He's not going to be obese. That leads to so many health conditions. Make sure he's getting the exercise that he requires. He's moving those muscles and joints. He's burning the calories that he needs to burn. He's staying in shape. So some of those preventative measures will actually save you in the long run on veterinary veterinary care, and they're free. Walking your dog, measuring his food, that kind of stuff. It doesn't cost you any money. Flea and tick care is a huge preventative. It does cost you money, but it'll save you on the long run. If your dog's not getting Lyme disease from ticks and you're not having to pay for the Lyme disease treatment, you know, you're saving money on the treatment from the diseases they would get from fleas and ticks. So grooming, DIY grooming, it is easy. It fosters the bond that you have with your pet. And it's something that you can do for so much cheaper. All you're going to need to do is buy the supplies. If you have a cat or dog that needs to be shaved, we have a long-haired cat that we shave in the summer. She goes outside, so she always gets things tangled in her fur. I shave her myself. My husband and I, he holds her while I shave her, and it works out fine. Dogs, you can cut their nails. You can clean their ears. You can clean their tear stains. You can bathe them, all of your animals. You can bathe and brush on your own. So DIY dog grooming, save the money on the professional groomer. The next thing that I wanted to touch on was care when you're away. And that might mean a dog walker, a pet sitter, something like that. Tap into the resources that you have around you that won't cost you anything. Friends, family, exchange favors. If you have another pet owner that you're friends with or is a family member, let them know. You know, if you watch my dog for me, if you walk my dog for me, I'll do the same for you. I'll watch your pets when you're away. And a lot of times you can exchange favors and not have to pay for boarding facilities or things like that. So those are my tips to save money in your pet budget. This is such an important topic, so I'm going to recap again for you. Number one, figure out your budget and what you have to spend. If you don't have a pet already, it might not be the best time. If it is the best time, you need to figure out what you can afford to spend. So number one, your budget. Number two, your pet emergency fund. Number three, save on supplies. Number four, save on treats. Number five, save on food. And number six, save on those dog care essentials. So those are my tips. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, jump on our website, theoryofpets.com. Leave a comment on there. You can leave it if you want to. You can record it, and I may use it in a future podcast, or you can simply just type those and leave them for me, and I will be sure to respond to all of those. Again, you know, jump on our website, and while you're on there, if you could just quickly leave me a review on iTunes, that really helps me to reach out and get more listeners, to reach out to experts in the pet industry, to have them come on the show and speak with us. If you're a frequent listener, then you know that I often interview experts, from veterinarians to trainers to people in the pet industry that might be CEOs of companies and things like that. So jump on there, iTunes, really quick, give me a review. Of course, visit our website, theoryofpets.com, for more information. I appreciate you guys listening, and I will see you back next time. Thanks.